Preparation of the Bride by Mary M. Bodie. The chariots shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation. Nahum 2 verse 3. This scripture no doubt refers to the time of the Lord's return and the preparation on the earth that precedes the great event. The fulfillment of it, which is before our eyes, is a sure sign that the day of the Lord is at hand. But there is a particular preparation, at the same time, to which we call attention, and with no uncertain sound, namely, the preparation of the bride to meet the bridegroom. The former is called his preparation, but her preparation is just as necessary, for his manifestation awaits her presence with him. The man to whom has been given dominion upon the earth is not complete without his bride. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Genesis 1, verses 27 and 28. We are assured that there is nothing today with which the Lord is more concerned than the preparation of the Lamb's wife. It is written of her, His wife hath made herself ready. Revelation 19:7. God's people are awaking to the fact of the imminence of Christ's coming, but the readiness necessary to meet him, with many, is a minor consideration. The former is good to see. It is indispensable to the latter. For the hope of Christ's appearing, held in living faith, purifies us even as he is pure. 1 John 3, verse 3. This constitutes the preparation of the bride. She must be as separated as he from the world in its every phase. This includes not only the world's allurements as to its pleasures and money, but also its wisdom, its thoughts, its fame, its zeal, and its energy. The latter are more than the world's pleasures and money, for they may be garbed religiously and thus not be so easily detected. Nevertheless, they are not hidden from the Lord. The bride cannot afford to be defiled by any of these things. The time is too short. She must be making ready her wedding garments, the materials of which we are assured will be altogether from heaven. Nothing of the elements of the world in that wedding trousseau, Galatians 4:3. It will be wholly divine. The outcalling. On every hand is manifested great zeal and energy in the Lord's cause and in the salvation of sinners. But the one great purpose of this age, the Father sending the Holy Spirit in quest of a bride for his Son, is almost forgotten. She must be a helpmeet for him, not an inferior. She must grow up unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:13. This constitutes her readiness. The Lamb's wife is not going to be a babe nor a child. God is not concerned, nor does he want us to be concerned, with building up something big upon the earth. This is always man's wisdom, for he walks by sight. He must see the result of his work in something big to which he can point with pride and take to himself the glory. But the Lord is not working that way. If we desire his best, we must look through his eyes and view things as he views them. The bride has dove's eyes, Holy Spirit eyes, Song of Solomon 1:15 and 4 verse 1. God is through with the church, viewed as Christendom. He is already outside the door calling individuals to come out, and he will sup with them, Revelation 3:20. He has given the church space to repent, but she has not availed herself of the opportunity. Scripture nowhere tells us that there will be a revival of the church as a whole. In fact, the opposite is stated. The love of many waxes cold, iniquity abounds. Some depart from the faith, and the last days are perilous. Read 2 Timothy for a description of the religious condition at the end of the age. The witness for Christ upon the earth has failed. The church has a form of godliness, but denies the power of the Holy Spirit, and so it is nothing but sounding brass or a tinkling, clanging cymbal. 2 Timothy 3:5 and 1 Corinthians 13:1. Notice now in this connection that God does not repeat himself. He is not building up another gigantic apostolic church in these days. No, indeed. She would prove to be the same miserable failure again if she were given the opportunity. God is not doing this. He does a new thing. The end of this age is upon us. The Lord has something new for the next age. The church as a whole is divided. In the beginning, all believers were together and had all things common. Acts 2:44 and 4:32. Their separation to God and fellowship with one another was complete, but this will never be repeated until Jesus comes. Then the all things common will be fulfilled in a far greater measure to Israel, of which the former was only a miniature picture. As was said, there is absolutely no hope of a restoration of the professing church. Even the desire for large, beautifully organized apostolic assemblies will prove a snare and be a disappointment to us. If we set our heart upon them, again we repeat, God is not working in this manner. He has proved man in this way many times. There will never be another Luther, Wesley, or Knox to inaugurate movements for their followers to build up into ecclesiastical abominations upon the earth. Many of these different sects were of God in their beginnings, though not as sects, but take notice to their end. The mother of harlots destroyed with all her progeny. Revelation 17, verse 5. God is going to judge her false pretenses and fellowship with a guilty world and give to her according to her deeds. The professing church is the false bride of Christ. Her claims will have to be annulled before the true bride can be shown. Our high calling. Let us then get the mind of God for ourselves as individuals at this time and not try to imitate those of the past. Let us look alone to our guide and teacher who is still with us. God has purposes and plans for us today which, I am sure, are neither sectarian nor selfish. He is a God of variety. He is not at a loss in the midst of the confusion and failure. What he wants and all he needs is the poor and contrite spirit, small enough to be taught and willing to be led. Isaiah 66:2b. The teaching may not be according to man's wisdom nor his reasoning, and the path in which we are called to walk may be a little thorny and not very popular, but we truly believe that it will be teaching befitting the preparation of the Lamb's wife to take her place in the ages to come as the companion, the equal, and helpmeet for the Lord. For the marriage of the Lamb shall come as it is written, and there must be a bride who hath made herself ready. Revelation 19:7. The question may arise, how is the above possible since salvation is entirely by grace? Well, we believe this is the answer. God himself has made provision for the readiness, but we must avail ourselves of his provision. Salvation has been provided for the world, but all men are not saved. They will not take the grace that the Lord is freely offering them. So it is in like manner with believers. All have the calling of this select, highly graced company, the bride. The provision to meet the need of all is complete, but it is not appreciated nor wanted. The separation it effects is too entire. The persecution it entails is too severe. The prize of the high calling is not run after, hence will not be won. The race is too long, the boxing too strenuous for the weaklings of our day. The weaklings of our day prefer, like Lot of old, to sit in the gate of Sodom to judge the wickedness of the world, but they are not separated from it. True judgment would necessitate an immediate separation from such fellowship, but this can only be done when we acknowledge God's judgment upon this world by taking our place in death with Christ and his consequent resurrection. Then it will be no more I that live, but Christ who lives in me. Galatians 2:20. This is the provision God has made through Calvary for the reproduction of the Christ life in the bride. For notice, she is called the Lamb's wife. Revelation 21:9.